We close our series looking at the letter of James this morning, reflecting on this interim time. We do not close this interim time, but we close the letter of James with this challenge to pray in all times and places. As we gather this morning to hear God's word to us, let us open our hearts to the Spirit. Let us pray. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Through the month of September, we have been concentrating on this lectionary text of James, these lectionary texts of James, and how they apply to the community of faith, particularly during and in between time. Like the other chapters we have explored in these weeks of September, it would be very easy for me to take this final chapter of James in purely personal context. What's in it for me as an individual? But to do so, I think, would be to miss the power of the message, which is directed to the community of faith, as Glenn so ably pointed out to us these past couple of weeks. A community in support of one another in prayer. Over a year ago now, our house group program in this church began a series of group meetings based on Nehemiah Bible study for action and reflection. We were asking the question, how might we as a church reach out in the area of public education? What might that look like? The leadership came with no set agenda on that, no clearly articulated goals about that, except that we would explore in some kind of experimental form in the course of this Bible study what it might look like for us to reach out and lead in that time. One of those four groups that met during that time devoted themselves to prayer as their action piece. Prayer as an action piece. We often, I think, and this group too, struggled with this reality in thinking that, well, all I can really do is pray, as if praying was somehow an inferior action. Kathy put it beautifully in her summary of the year's activity. Many were surprised to discover that praying was more active than they had thought. For example, many members of the prayer house group initially were apologetic about their house group focus, describing themselves as just praying, but then slowly realized that prayer plays a crucial role in societal transformation. Prayer has kept the momentum going into the summer and now readying for our next steps in this experiment of reaching out in public education. And prayer is at the very heart, I believe, of this community of faith in action. James has been talking to the community throughout this letter about radical hospitality, about the importance of speech in leadership, about wisdom and seeking God's purpose and unity in the midst of diversity. And we have been challenged throughout this series to be seeking God's way, not just the ways of our own personal desires. It is also so when we seek to be righteous in prayer, grounded in right relationship to God, seeking God's will and truth rooted in the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is at the heart of our community here. In our worship, as we gather and take time to hear the concerns of this community, to celebrate joys, to laugh with one another, and to weep with those who weep. It is in our individual lives of so many of you, I know. And every Wednesday morning, a faithful group of people praying gather year-round, usually over a hot breakfast cooked by Sean Patton, except when he travels to Korea, to pray for the needs of this congregation, our community, and our world before heading into our various days and works. It is a sacred time in this community. this past Wednesday, when several concerns in this community weighed very heavily upon me, I was reminded of that sacredness. The needs in our world, in our individual lives, in the lives of some in this community are many and very serious. They defy easy answers. It wasn't always clear to me to see how prayers were being answered when I came to pray with the group on Wednesday morning. Yet as the group began to pray, what came forth, and in no small measure, were expressions of faith in God's faithfulness. The lifting up of prayers answered, there were many in that week. Reminders that God is ever present, ever faithful, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Those prayers shone bright on the situations as we gathered together to seek to be faithful, grounded in our relationship in Christ, stepping out in faith. So why pray? James is pretty clear. The prayer of the faith will save the sick, will raise them up. The root word in Greek here for save is the same root as for salvation, a saving power that is of God. In and through all God is present. In my work as a hospice chaplain many years ago, I once heard one of our teachers of volunteers say in the volunteer training, healing does not always mean cure. I have seen people physically cured who were not healed from the brokenness of their lives before they received that physical ailment. And I have seen many people not healed, not cured of illness, and yet healed of amazing challenges of life amidst that illness. Strengthening and healing of relationships which were damaged, new peace beyond earthly understanding, inspiration and even life and energy in ways that they could have never imagined, a vivid sense of the blessing in each day. Paul's ministry was ever plagued by his thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, and yet the glory of God shone through him to lead all manner of people to new life, and to be our witness in the world in these days. This kind of saving and lifting up, as James writes about, may not be exactly what we imagine or even what we pray for. This kind of saving power promises anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed. It is a promise reiterated at the very end of the letter, too, where the community is exhorted to continually bring back those who wander from the truth in order that their souls may be saved. The truth talked about here is the truth that our relationship in Jesus Christ saves and transforms life itself. We are no longer the same. But it only works if we stay connected to God and to one another. It is that relationship which matters. Keeping Christ at the center, trusting that we too will be lifted up. It is indeed a supreme act of faith to pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Not my will, but thy will be done. Scripture debates itself on this matter, to be sure, and if you have read Scripture closely and spend much of your time in John's Gospel, you kind of come out at a different place on this question of how God answers prayer. For if you read only John's Gospel, you would be led to believe that you need only to ask, and God will give you whatever you ask for. Ask, and in Matthew, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. But what is this it? John's Gospel seems to imply that God will give us whatever we ask if we just ask for it. Yet Jesus teaching us to pray teaches us something else more often. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the first letter of John, we are reminded that if we ask anything of God, God hears us. Yet we wrestle with why God doesn't seem to follow what we know is best, for we are smart people around here. We know what should be God's will. There's a whole sermon in that question, to be sure, or perhaps a second sequel to Burkhardt's TNT series on theodicy. And ask any number of people around here who know that God's will in their lives has worked out in amazing ways that they could never foresee. Prayer, my friends, has been at the heart of this interim time as we said goodbye to the Watermolder family and others who have been leaving this community for other places. As we began to journey into some unknown waters and new ways of doing programming with new leaders, seeking God faithfully to step out in faith. We have 4 of our 9 elders on this session brand new. Never elders before. One will be ordained today. Oh, good, he came down from the Sunday school class. We have 2 new deacons and more new leadership in the life of this church in these past 6 months than I have seen in 10 years of ministry here. The intense work of this search committee to discern and seek God's will as to what is next for us, leading us from a rich field of candidates, 26 strong who referred themselves for their position, this position here, and ask any search committee meeting member, they were so different from one another, so different from one another. Our initial list of qualifications for the interim co-pastor was 15 long. How do you balance that when the candidates are so different? And yet, throughout it all, God led us in times of prayer. Sometimes that prayer was, as Anne Lamott says it, thanks. Thanks be to God that we have so many rich candidates to choose from. Sometimes that prayer was, wow. All these people interested in this church. Sometimes that prayer, again in Anne Lamott's words, was help. How are we ever going to make this decision? And yet, through it all, an amazing, amazing process, we were led to the unanimous calling of MedHat. Revealing steps along the way as to who we are and who God is calling us to be, step by step into a new journey, building on those things which have been solidly rooted in God, which have come before, and yet daring to venture and risk into new territory. When we pray, prayer changes us. It orients us to God in a new way of recognizing that we are not ultimately the gods of our own lives, but we belong to something much higher, a truth that can somehow transform and work within even the darkest of circumstances, even the hardest of times. As Glenn had it as his cornerstone in these past 2 Sundays, this is Isaiah's path. Within the wilderness, streams in the living desert. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective, James writes, oriented in truth. The prophet Elijah had that kind of constant approach to God, never wavering, connected at all times and all places to the God he loved and served. If you read the whole of 1 Kings 17 and 18, we read just the beginning and the end of the story, you see that over and over again. Elijah's focus, his orientation in God, with his eyes on God's will always. Elaine Pagels writes in Beyond Belief, faith is often interpreted as simply belief, but it involves so much more. It is the trust that enables us to commit ourselves to what we hope and love, and we leave that to God. Prayer, then, is an orientation, not a list of specific requests, but a willingness to engage with God in relationship, to seek to follow Christ in all arenas of our life. Truly, nothing is beyond God's knowing, and we can never hide ourselves from God, however imperfectly we may express our prayers. God knows us, and God is ever willing to listen to our prayers, to answer with God's will, and to lead us into truth. And it is the work of our community to help one another to do that, to help me to do that. May we live into this kind of prayer in all times and places, particularly in this time, to truly seek to live in the words of the prophet Micah, in what the Lord requires of us, to love mercy, to do justice, and to walk humbly with our God. For God is ever ready to save our souls from death and lead us into the fullness of eternal life, a peace that the world does not give, and the peace that the world never takes away. Amen.